Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat. Coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday. It is cutdown day. And your Packers initial 53-man roster for the 2024 season is alive and well. That's right. The Packers making plenty of moves this afternoon to adhere to the league rule, getting to a 53-man roster prior to the 4 p.m. Eastern deadline. Bevy of moves, some of which were somewhat surprising, some I think not surprising at all, but I did want to lead today pointing out the shirt I'm wearing, which you will see is very wrinkled. It's a long sleever buried in the bottom of my closet waiting for winter, but I had to pull it out. I had to have it prominently on display. I could not have been more wrong when it comes to the quarterback spot and an extension, the kicker spot, although that one wasn't as much of a surprise. The release of Anders Carlson, essentially Brian Gutekunst admitting his mistake there. The expected development never really materialized. Glad to see the Packers willing to cut bait on a guy who didn't seem to be figuring it out. Greg Joseph, will he end up being the kicker? I don't know. He's currently on the roster. But this next 24-48-hour period probably will see some maneuvering still with the roster and the practice squad, et cetera. But I was dead wrong about the quarterback situation and about the fact that the Packers wanted to, you know, regardless of how they played in preseason, I thought they would come hell or high water, stick with at least one of these young guns as the backup to Jordan Love. And obviously not the case after the trade for Malik Willis, which happened live while I was wrapping up yesterday. And now today, the Packers have released both of their young quarterbacks in Sean Clifford and Michael Pratt. And per Bill Huber's reporting, apparently the plan is to bring Sean Clifford back on the practice squad. No mention of Michael Pratt. That doesn't mean Pratt couldn't be back. Maybe he is, but certainly an interesting development and one that I certainly wasn't expecting. I thought for sure, because of everything Brian talked about this summer, the combine, etc., wanting to get back to drafting and developing quarterbacks, clearly, I was expecting quarterbacks that he drafted, but Malik Willis, apparently a guy with a lot of tools that they like, some starting experience in the league, they thought, okay, let's raise the floor of our quarterback room a little bit, get him on our roster, and eventually he will be the backup to Jordan Love, although Clifford will probably be the backup for the first 2-3 weeks while Willis settles in. If Clifford is on the practice squad, and I don't think he's going to get claimed on waivers, I fully expect him to be elevated for that game in Brazil in 10 days and probably the following week against the Colts, a guy who's been in the system now for, a little over a year going into his second season. As a staff, they probably trust him to at least operate the offense if something were to happen to Jordan Love. In a way, they don't trust Michael Pratt and certainly can't trust Willis yet. So some maneuverability there. Again, didn't expect those moves. I was wrong. Nagler's never right. You can find this shirt in the Cheesehead TV store, and you can wear it with pride, knowing that eventually it's going to make a lot of sense to a lot of people. Hello to everybody in the comment section. Hope you're all doing well. Before we get going and looking at this 53-man roster, you know what it is. I got to give a shout-out to our good friends over at Ticket King. That's right. Based in Wisconsin. Since when, Aaron? Aaron, when have they been based in Wisconsin since? That's right. Since the early 90s, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the game, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. They even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, on our app, or indeed in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of this national nonsense. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. All right, let's dive in, people. We got a 53-man roster to take a look at. Look at this resplendent display. This is obviously ripped right off of CheeseheadTV.com. Shout out to Jersey Al for putting this together. At the quarterback spot, they have kept two in Jordan Love and Malik Willis. At running back, Josh Jacobs, Marshawn Lloyd, the rookie, makes it despite the hamstring injury. And Emmanuel Wilson, who had an outstanding preseason, is your third running back. And, of course, the name missing there, AJ Dillon. Dillon has been placed on season-ending injured reserve. He is done for the year. A brutal development for a guy who looked to really kind of bounce back after a substandard 2023. Dealing with a stinger yet again, the same kind of injury he had at the end of last season. That's two stingers in about 9 months. That's concerning. The Packers clearly thinking long-term here. Issue, of course, is Dillon's on a one-year deal. So who knows where this ends up going. He may very well have played his final down as a Green Bay Packer last season. Maybe he gets released with an injury settlement, comes back right as rain later in the year and signs with someone else or even the Packers. Long way to go there, but for now, Dillon is done for the year. At tight end, we've got Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, and Ben Sims. Tyler Davis. I know there's been a lot of sentiment out there about what a bummer it is for AJ, but the same thing goes for Davis. The guy sits all year, comes back, seems ready to kind of reclaim his throne, not only as a makeshift usage tight end, but, you know, his ability on special teams, his leadership across, you know, teams and scrimmage, gone. Placed on season-ending injured reserve, missing yet another season. Absolutely brutal development. You really feel for him. At wide receiver, keeping six in Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Bo Melton and Malik Heath. Grant DuBose is released, hopefully coming back on the practice squad. I thought he had an outstanding summer. A bit inconsistent there for about a 2 or 3 day stretch, but for the most part, I thought he was lights out throughout the entire time I was in Green Bay, definitely. At offensive line, they're keeping 10 with Rashid Walker, Elton Jenkins, Josh Myers, Jordan Morgan, Zach Tom, Sean Ryan, Jacob Monk, Kadeem Telfort, Travis Glover, the draft pick, and Andre Dillard. Dillard, the free agent acquisition. We'll see where he is coming back from that injury heading into Brazil. You got to think there's a chance he's your swing tackle. At defensive line, keeping five with Kenny Clark, Devontae Wyatt, TJ Slayton, Colby Wooden, and Carl Brooks. Carl Brooks! At linebacker, we got Quay Walker, Isaiah McDuffie, Eric Wilson, Edrian Cooper, and Tyron Hopper. I'm not going to say a surprise, but maybe the disappointment is Christian Welch doesn't make the squad. I thought he'd done enough to make it. Clearly, the Packers disagree. They most likely can get him onto the practice squad, though I think there's a very infinitesimal chance he gets picked up off waivers if a team is looking for help on teams. At edge, we've got Rashawn Gary, Preston Smith, Kingsley Enagbare, Lucas Van Ness, Brenton Cox Jr., and Aaron Mosby makes the team. After that outstanding performance against the Ravens, you love to see it. Great to see him on the squad. At cornerback, they go a little light here. I thought they'd go six. They go five with Jair Alexander, Eric Stokes, Keyshawn Nixon, Carrington Valentine, and Corey Ballantyne. Notably absent is the seventh-round draft pick, Kalen King. Have to suspect he'll be back on the practice squad, although who knows? Maybe he gets picked up off waivers, but I think he had an up and down summer, but you certainly saw what they liked about him as a prospect. You certainly saw the athletic upside throughout training camp and preseason. So hopefully he's back in the fold tomorrow. At safety, you've got Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, Zane Anderson, and Ketan Oladapo. Notably absent, Anthony Johnson Jr. Again, I suspect he is back on special teams. I'm sorry, on the practice squad. Zane Anderson, the special teams maven. You have to think that is the only reason he is on this 53-man roster. I thought Anthony Johnson Jr. had an outstanding summer, both camp and preseason. If they lose him on waivers, I will be maybe not upset. I'll be slightly miffed. Let's put it that way. And as specialists, oh my God, our long national nightmare is over. As I said at the top, Anders Carlson is out the door. Greg Joseph, for now, is your kicker, along with Daniel Whalen as punter and Matt Orzech as your long snapper. The worst part about this development, of course, is that I have to do Carry the G Radio tomorrow, and Billy gets to tell me that he was right, because he had them keeping Joseph way back in the offseason, like before camp even started. And I said, you know, all things being equal, they're going to go with Carlson. And I don't know if all things were equal, but they certainly haven't gone with Carlson. They've gone with Joseph, and now Billy gets to rub it in my face. So there you go. There's your initial 53-man roster. Let's get to your questions and comments here. Mimsy, what's going on, man? Is this good or bad for Door County economy? I got to think good. More time for AJ to hang out up north there. Hey, Quinn, thanks. Before I get going, speaking of Door County, if you go to cheeseheadtv.com and look at the beer tab and, oh, I don't know, maybe search Door County, you might find that Carry the G Cream Ale is available in Door County. Right now, live as we speak, there are, I think, three different establishments in Door County that have Carry the G. Get out there and find it, people. Quinn, thanks for the super chat. Hey, Nags, you think they make any running back moves? I doubt it. There's always a possibility that somebody shakes free that maybe they weren't expecting. Maybe they have their eye on somebody for a trade with a low-round pick. But I suspect they'll go in to Brazil, at least, with most likely two active, with Jacobs and Wilson. And then I would suspect Lloyd will probably be in street clothes for that first game, probably first couple games. And if disaster were to strike, they would, you know, get creative in the offensive backfield. But, you know, no, I think for now, I think they'll roll with these guys that they have on the roster. Come on, what's up, man? 10 days until kickoff. You got your bags packed? I most certainly do not. I did attend, you know, check in on a Zoom with the NFL today for attendant media going down to Brazil. It's going to be fun. It's going to be something. They kept reiterating how terrible traffic is in Sao Paulo, and everywhere you go, if you're going by car, you should like expect it. If you would normally look at a map and think, oh, that should take 20 minutes, add an hour onto that. So, you know, big city. I'm ready for it. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. Since the end of last season, the Packers have been preparing for the kicker situation, right? Lots of kickers out there. You would think they have their eyes on people. No doubt about it. That's why they have a pro personnel group, right? If there is somebody they feel can come in and either challenge and or be better than Joseph the moment he walks in the door, they'll make that move. Who that would be, I have no idea. Chris Dorsey, what's going on, man? Thanks for the super chat. I feel for AJ. I was excited for him to be on the field given all the work he did this offseason. Was looking like he was in great shape. Agreed, man. This is the league. You know, this is the tough part of the business. And I will say, shout out to the Packers. They want to make sure that he's right before putting him out there. And we always talk about their conservative nature and how they are always looking out for the guy's best interest. You got to think that plays into this decision to not, you know, have him on the short-term on IR and have him available in about a month, but to make sure he's right as rain. Two stingers in 9 months is nothing to, you know, just kind of dismiss. That is certainly something he'll probably want to get looked at. And Matt has said, you know, they are waiting on several different opinions regarding his kind of issue. So, yeah, it sucks. It really sucks because I did think along with, like you say, like he looked good, looked like he had come back in great shape, certainly started this offseason well, sort of camp well, but you just got to make sure that he's right before putting him out there. Abdul, what's going on, man? Aaron, think any of our cuts get claimed? Ultimately, no, but you can never really be sure. I do suspect, I think Anthony Johnson Jr. has a chance, albeit, again, a small one, but I think he's had a good enough summer that if there is a personnel group out there that where you're light at safety, and you're running some kind of multiple scheme, he's somebody you could bring in who not only would help you from scrimmage, but could probably play on special teams as well. So, yeah, there's an issue there. Abdul, thanks again. Why didn't they designate Dylan IR to return? I just talked about that because they're looking out for his long-term health and because they have way more information than we do. Clearly, this is a long-term concern. If it was something that he dealt with those last few games of 2023, and now it's recurred here this summer, that's a pretty short window for that same injury to occur. They're probably making sure that he gets every single piece of medical help, information, opinion that he can prior to resuming football activities. And again, they're making sure that he's right before he gets back on a football field. And it's frustrating for the player, probably. It's probably frustrating for his family and fans and what have you, but much more important to make sure the player is right than to get him out there for a couple games and have him re-injure it, you know? Simitovich, what's up? I feel terrible for AJ. This just plain sucks. I'm beyond nervous about the kicker position. Motel Men concert on Cheesehead TV and Clifford Truthers Unite. Go Pack, go. I don't know about a Motel Men concert on Cheesehead TV, although shout out to Ken, one of our Patreon members who got some footage from our gig in Appleton. It's kind of cool to see like a packed room, people dancing along to your stuff. That's kind of fun. But yeah, no, there won't be a Motelman gig on Cheesehead TV anytime soon. Abdul, thanks again, man. Is Joseph our week one starter? What about week 17? Man, let me just get my crystal ball out here. Hold on. No is the answer to that. Joe, thanks for the super chat. What players on the 53 should lose sleep for a while? Well, that's an interesting question. You know, anybody way down the depth chart on some of these numbers here? Like if you're a position group that has traditionally five and they've kept six, like an Aaron Mosby or Brenton Cox Jr., you're pretty kind of maneuverable as far as cutting him and hopefully getting him back on the practice squad, etc. I would think maybe Travis Glover, Kadeem Telfort, though I think Telfort really came on towards the end of the year. Maybe Andre Dillard. Somewhere where there's a lot of numbers and, you know, you could make do or get by if you had to maneuver to get him on the practice squad. Guys like that. Abdul, thanks again, man. Am I surprised King and Welch got cut? King, not really. Welch, a little bit. I do think ultimately it comes down to special teams for certain positions and certain guys. We all know Welch played lights out on teams last year, was a stalwart on teams this summer. Didn't seem to save him, though. And again, that's another one where Ryan always talks about the puzzle, right? And the back end of that roster has to fit together with the numbers you want to keep at each position. If you're looking at linebackers, Quay, Isaiah, Wilson, Cooper, Hopper, I mean, the Cooper one is obviously driven by the fact that he's a draft choice, and they know there's a lot of on-tap potential there, even though he hasn't played essentially a down a team since like the first practice or two. But Welch can probably be gotten through waivers and placed on the practice squad and then brought up a number of times to help augment whatever game plan they have, both from defensively and special teams. But yeah, I thought he'd done enough to make it, but I'm sure he's just a victim of numbers at that point. Andrew Ware, thanks for the super chat, man. Interesting to see Goot's willingness to move on from recent draft picks. Gotta respect it. Surprise cut for me was Johnson Jr. Also, I was pulling for Welch. This is our team. Go Pack, go. Now there is the correct attitude, sir. Yeah, the Johnson Jr. thing, he, like I said, he played very well, but clearly caught in a little bit of a numbers game there. I really hope they get him back on the practice squad. Matthew, what's going on, man? I owe you a beer. Only six wide receivers. I tip my hat to you, sir. Well, you know, hey, it's one thing I got right out of 400. I don't need a beer for that. I'm just at negative 15 instead of negative 16. But I appreciate it. Mimsy, what's going on, man? Rick, I believe you mean Rich. Bisaccio gets promoted, has bad special team, and whiffed on Anders. Yeah, you do have to wonder about maybe the possible outsized influence he has had on some of these special teams decisions, though Keyshawn Nixon has turned out to be a pretty damn good player, and that was certainly driven by Rich. So, you know, don't ever forget, though, he is not strictly a special teams coach. He is also an assistant head coach and oversees many different kind of aspects of the team. Now, that said, he is in charge of the special teams, a special teams unit that has gone from, I believe it was 22nd in 2022 to 29th in 2023. Some of that driven by a very inconsistent kicking game, but also lots of penalties on special teams coverage units, on return units, etc. Those are things that are under his purview that he has got to make right. No question about it. And he knows this. We're not saying anything he don't know. Trust me. But yes, there certainly needs to be a much better output outcome from special teams units this year. No question. Well, Hungarian, what's going on, man? Malik Willis going to have a few Taysom Hill type packages or strictly backup? Random Packer, Mike Norseth. It's an excellent question, man. I would love to know if, you know, anybody on the beat gets to ask that question. Maybe Brian talks about it tomorrow when he's scheduled to speak. Maybe Matt, but I would tend to doubt it. I would think they're going to try and bring him along as a strict backup quarterback before putting him out there in any kind of special package type situations. Because much like the Taysom Hill thing, every time you do that, you're taking the ball out of Jordan Love's hands. You just paid Jordan Love a gajillion dollars to be your quarterback. I want the ball in his hands. I want him touching the football every play. You know, I don't need Malik Willis out there running some gadget nonsense when I've got Jordan fucking Love under center. That's just me. Maybe they think differently. Abdul, thanks again, man. Are you surprised only five cornerbacks? Yeah, I said when I was going through the list there, it's the one where they went a little light and that surprised me a bit. I thought there was a decent chance that King would be on the squad. But again, we keep saying like Welch, King, Anthony Johnson Jr. I'm surprised they didn't make it. I'm surprised they didn't make it. Well, you know, if you bring one of those guys back on, well, who are you cutting? Like obviously the case can be made for like, say an Aaron Mosby could be gotten through to the practice squad, but the Packers probably think, and you know, Paul Breddle mentioned this yesterday when we talked about his 53 man roster prediction. It's a premier position. Edge rusher is, you know, especially in Green Bay, considered up there in the upper echelon of the most important positions on the football field. You've got quarterback, you've got tackle, you've got edge rusher, and corner. Those are your premier positions. And if you've got guys in a Brenton Cox Jr. or an Aaron Mosby who have shown not only development and upside and athleticism and all the things you like at that position, well, yeah, you want to keep them in the fold, right? And you know, not so much Brenton Cox, but I think Mosby can help you on teams. So, yeah, I think as, quote, surprising as it might be to see some of these guys get cut, there's always a reason. There's always a guy who's made it because they're not on this initial 53, right? Daniel, what's going on, man? Thanks for being a Carry the G Club member. What are you most anxious to see in the first game from the Packers? We need Carry the G in Brazil. Oh, Carry the G in Brazil would be amazing. I just don't think I'm going to be able to make it happen. You know what I mean? But hey, watch this space. As far as most anxious to see in the first game, I want Henry Pearson elevated from the practice squad and they roll out fullback wheel route, 30-yard gain down the left sideline. That's what I want to see. Either that, or here's the other thing I'm really hoping Matt puts in. And like, you know, this is just old school Aaron Holmgren fan in me, but I want split backs, like say, let's have Wilson on one side, Jacobs on the other, and they run like one guy runs into the flat and the other guy does like an angle or a Texas route and they throw it for a first down or a big gain or something like that. That's what I'm anxious to see. I don't think that's going to happen, but that'd be a lot of fun. Scott Britton, thank you for the super sticker. Appreciate you, man. Mike, thanks for the super chat. Crosby, I wish. Man, Crosby's getting ready to like do media and settle into retired life. Did you notice last year how legit almost nobody called him until late in the year? And then when he had a chance to win a game for the Giants, he missed the kick. I mean, I understand like all time, he's a Packers great, 16 years, amazing. But, you know, you got to move on at some point. Uncultured, thanks for the super chat. Greg. And Joseph, really? Ugh, I detest him more than Brandy detested Joe Barry. Random Packer, Al Del Greco. I think that's the first Del Greco mention. That's really good. And wow, saying that you detest Greg Joseph more than Brandy detested Joe Barry? That's a statement there, sir. Amazing. Eric, thanks for the super chat, man. Just remember, people, if time is a flat circle, this may be the year Love throws a game-ending pick and a BS no-call face mask ensues in the playoffs. Eric, we're trying to have fun here. We're looking forward with hope. Why you got to bring up a Cardinals playoff game that ended in misery? That is legit one of the greatest. It includes the highlights of that game, includes one of the greatest NFL film shots, I think, of all time, where that play happens, right? The face mask and then the fumble and then return into the end zone, and then from behind there's somebody had the smarts with NFL films to be just behind Mike McCarthy on the ground, so it's kind of looking up and he's like this figure like watching, and then when that play happens, Mike literally falls to his knees. I mean, just pure emotion, right? A pure gut punch physically manifested. That's a great shot. It's so well done. I mean, like the culmination of that game, how wild it was, all the points, and then to have it end like that. Oh, the gut punch of all time. Crazy. Nick, thanks for the super chat, man. Caleb Jones greater than Andre Dillard, in my opinion. I'm a sad panda. Yeah, Caleb just, they never trusted him in pass pro. That's very, very, very clear. Dillard, I thought, played very well in the preseason, which is, you know, hats off to him because God knows all the film on him from Tennessee last year was pretty terrible. He played way better in the preseason games than I expected him to. So, yeah, Caleb, you know, I love him. I really wanted him to get opportunities that just never seemed to materialize. He never really could get a true elongated chance with the ones, let alone, you know, he got a few with the twos, let alone with the ones. I think he got like four or five snaps with the ones on family night, a couple other handful of snaps along the way, but just don't think they saw him as ever being kind of light and quick enough on his feet in pass protection. I think obviously in the run game, you love what you see, especially when they ask him to get out on the perimeter and bury cornerbacks or outside backers or whatever. But yeah, man, I'm with you. I love the player, but just never really kind of got it put together the way they like. Dustin, thanks for the super chat, man. Started watching you in 2017, Mr. Nagler, and boy, are the politicians paying out to Cheesehead TV. Well-deserved. Go, Pack, go. 20-0, here we come. Yeah, guys, you know, I said it yesterday. Look, paying rent in New York, it ain't cheap, and YouTube has a feature where they will play ads. Now, we don't specifically ask for political ads, but obviously, leading up to November's election, you're going to get a lot of political ads. I apologize for that, but just remember, it means I can pay my rent. So, appreciate you. Celestial, what's going on? Thanks for the super chat. What do you think about our backfield? I think it's got a lot of promise when Lloyd gets healthy. Like I said earlier, maybe they're looking at the cutdowns from all the other teams, the waiver wire, etc. But I suspect they'll roll with two into Brazil. And who knows? They obviously have to feel at least a little decent about Lloyd's recovery from this hamstring injury, you know, that it's not going to be keeping him out for much longer, if at all. You know, otherwise they probably would have tried to maneuver to put him on the IR designated to return. He's missed a lot of time, but he's looked good in the short kind of stretch that we got to see him this summer. And I think that, you know, obviously that helps. That upside there, that's very exciting, everything he can do. Wilson, I think, had an outstanding summer. I don't know what he could have done more to make a case to stick to the 53 and be running back two, essentially, is what he's going to be now. You know, I shouldn't say this, but I was going to say when the bullets are live, but that's such a poor analogy. When things are real, when the, you know, the intensity ramps up and teams are coming after the quarterback, starting in week one down in Brazil, can Wilson hold up in pass pro? Not just from a physical standpoint, but from recognition, knowing his rules, being able to work inside out, etc. All the different things that the Eagles and other teams are going to start throwing at you that you haven't seen all throughout the summer. That's the question mark for me. As far as a running back, a receiver, everything he's being asked to do with the ball in his hand, I think he's great. I think I've got no questions. But those protection aspects are what teams are going to test, especially knowing that it's been his weak part of his game, right? You see him in there. Okay, let's get after it. That will be kind of the test, especially early. John Simatovich, what's up? What's the strongest position group top to bottom? Probably wide receiver. I think, you know, you can make a case for outside backer. There's promise along the defensive line. But yeah, wide receiver, I think, is probably your strongest bet of all of them. Josh, thanks for the super chat. Does Matt LaFleur play any role in roster decisions, specifically cut down? He plays a role in that he certainly is having conversations with Brian. The entire coaching staff is having input when asked, you know, about players and usage and things like that. But ultimately, it is Brian and his group that are making that determination across the board as far as guys who get cut and who is remaining on the 53, who's getting through and hopefully put on the practice squad, who's getting let go permanently. Those are Brian's decisions ultimately, which obviously are supported and have input from all of his personnel people. He will have conversations with Matt and members on his staff, but they do not make the choices. That is Brian's job. It is his roster. Manuel, thanks for the super sticker. Appreciate you. Mario, thanks for the super chat. Now that the season is about to start, what are you most excited for? I'm hoping Watson can be do well for us this year. Man, if Watson can stay healthy, he is going to be an absolute terror. He is going to destroy defenses. He is going to put up monster numbers. I have little doubt about that. What am I most excited about? Having a defense. Now, I don't know if they're going to have one, but I'm excited about the possibility. It could materialize. They could get into a third and three and not play 12 yards off. They could actually, not allow receivers a free release whenever the hell they want it and give the quarterback an easy lane to throw the football. All of these things are possible. I'm excited for the possibilities. I'm trying not to get excited, but I can't help it. The possibilities are there. Abdul, thanks for the super chat. Seems like Bisaccia had a big influence on this roster. Could you see NFL scrapping the new rules and going back to the old kickoff before end of season? No. The new kickoff is here to stay through this season at least. They're not going to change it before the season ends. In fact, they just had, I believe today or yesterday, the owners voted on private equity being able to have ownership shares in NFL franchises. And there was talk that they were going to possibly massage some of the rules around the new kickoff. Nothing about taking it away or going back to the old rules or anything like that. But if there was an opportunity to do something, it was this week. And from all the reporting around it, that's not happening. But yeah, no, they are not changing or going back to the old rules anytime this year. Now, could they next year? It's a possibility. I tend to doubt it. I think, they will keep going down this type of avenue. Maybe it looks a little different next season, but this year, no, they absolutely won't be going back. Rick, thanks for the super chat. Doesn't 10 O-line seem like a lot? Random Packer, Dominic Daphne with his one touchdown catch in Chicago from one Aaron Rodgers. That was a great catch. Great play. 10 O-line. No, that's pretty normal, actually. They've hovered around that number many, many years. 10 is about right. I mean, 5 of them are starters, right? You can get thin real quick. I got no problem with it. Fred, thanks for the super sticker. Appreciate you. Nice guy. What's going on, man? Caleb Jones to DT and Willis involved in QB sneaks only. Nixon, possible offensive snaps? Man, okay, well, the other two, hilarious. But yeah, the Nixon thing, I think he tweeted about it this offseason because I can't remember who it was. Someone, maybe it was Zach Jacobson, had highlighted like his one snap on offense last year, which gained 9 yards, and then they never gave him the ball again. I would love to see it. Get the ball in his hand. Let him work in space. Of course, when you do that, then you're not getting the ball to any of your many, many playmakers, who probably start to ask, why the hell are we bringing this defensive guy over here? I'm pretty good, things like that. So I hope we see a little bit more of it because I did think it was fun and I think he can be really productive there. But I don't think it's ever going to be something that they lean on, like as a specific package week after week. Eric, what's going on, man? Let me bring back some positivity. The pain ended quick because we won the Super Bowl the season after. Wink, wink, go Pack, go. See, there you go. You're right. After the Arizona debacle, they go on and they win the Super Bowl as a wild card team. Just remember that. Wild card doesn't mean you're done. Cameron, thanks for the super chat. Did Catan showing flashes in preseason make AJJ expendable? Thanks, Nags. Well, I don't think expendable is the right word. I think Catan showing as much as he did, especially after missing as much time as he did, certainly helped his case for sticking on the 53. Bit of, obviously, Brian, we talk about it a lot, and I don't know how true some of this is, but he certainly seems to have an affinity for his draft picks. And yes, Anthony Johnson Jr. is also a draft pick, but, Catan Oladapo drafted this year and a little bit higher. So, yeah, I do not doubt for a moment that Brian saw enough that he wanted to make sure that he stuck and was able to contribute. I think Anthony Johnson Jr., like I said, has a chance to be, of all the guys, has the chance to be picked up off waivers. But I do think more likely than not, he'll make it through and he'll be on the practice squad and they'll bring him up a number of times this season because I thought he had an awesome summer. Thomas, thanks for the super chat. I don't think they could keep Xander's no confidence he can make extra point, let alone a game-winning field goal. Random Packer, Moline, Illinois alum Ron Hallstrom. Ron Hallstrom. Now, there's a great name. outstanding choice. And yeah, I think there's little doubt, especially after missing that bunny kick against the Ravens at the end of that preseason game. Real hard to think his confidence hadn't been kind of completely shot. I mean, he was shaky throughout the summer to begin with, and then to end it like that. It's rough, man. It's a rough gig. Matthew, what's going on, man? Nice. Have we kept the UDFA streak going? I know that some players are UDFA players, like Wilson, etc., who made the 53, but does that count? No, the streak of 19 years is over. The streak of, and the streak that he's referring to is undrafted free agent rookies, which, you know, obviously Wilson is not. There was not an undrafted free agent rookie kept on this 53-man roster this year. So that 19-year streak comes to an end. And that's, you know, the sign that you've done what Brian has done over the course of the last two seasons. You've drafted extremely well. You've gone very, very young, and you've acquired a ton of picks. So you saw that reflected in the fact that they only had, what, 8 or 9 guys as a undrafted class this season. We asked Brian about it, actually, this offseason when he was on here for Packer transplants. You know, it's just how it shook out because of their kind of roster turnover the last few years. Doesn't really, I think, affect them too much as far as after the draft, being able to pitch to undrafted guys. Look, yes, last year, first time in 19 years, etc. But I think most agents understand this is still the franchise where you are going to get a fair shake. And if your guy does come to camp and balls out at a position where it's maybe a little thin, you're definitely going to be given opportunities to stake your claim, so to speak, for a roster spot. I don't think that changes much just because of one year where a UDFA rookie didn't make it. All right, everybody, I'm going to have to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.